Okay. Can everybody hear me? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, perfect. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 3. Just as a little reminder, which I say at the beginning of each week, I don't take a look at the screen while I talk because I just get so easily confused. So I will stop once or twice at natural pausing points, and I'll look at the screen and see if there's any questions or comments. So if you do have something that you want to say or you want me to address, please do type it there, and we'll get to it sooner or later. Okay. Let's see. So we talked a little bit in previous weeks about the importance of your own energy field and your frequency. The frequency that you hold based on your thoughts and your beliefs and your feeling states, and also your conscious and unconscious mental activity. So now I would like to go into a little more detail about the nature of energetic frequency. About the way that it is set up structurally and the way that it enables us to have experiences of the world, and also a spiritual journey, because it is really actually all the same thing. There's the higher end of the frequency range, which feels heavenly and expansive and very open and light and spiritual. And then there's the very low range, which feels very sucky and hopeless and constricted and dark and what we think of as being decidedly unspiritual. So I'm sure that both ends of the spectrum are familiar to anybody here, probably to anybody that is alive. We've felt both. But what you may or may not have realized, if you've never particularly thought about it, is the vast amount of time that we typically spend all over the place, really, like all at the same time, because we spend most of our time in between the highs and the lows in this kind of fuzzy, muddled up, middle ground sort of space, like where your frequency state is scattered, and it's really diffused. There's like a little of this and a little of that, and it's up and down and sideways and back and forth all over the place, and not very much gets done with it. You have, like, typically, like some moments of high frequency or high-ish frequency that might come as a result of, I don't know, some genuine gratitude or a little spontaneous moment of generosity maybe that makes you feel really good, or a happy attitude if everything is going right and the weather's nice on that particular day. Or maybe somebody told you a joke that you found totally hilarious and it made you laugh with joy at the silliness of it all day. Or maybe you woke up that day really on a roll, like spiritually speaking, and you had this big, like, whoosh of authentic forgiveness towards somebody or something. And that gave you a feeling of lightness and a spring in your step that, you know, it lasts for a while. And that's all totally great because, you know, who doesn't like to have a day like that? But if there's no conscious effort or conscious intention involved in terms of monitoring and nurturing the thoughts and the beliefs that make up your own energy field, your frequency is actually going to be all over the place. Because that higher stuff, those nicer feelings, chances are that they are all mixed up together with doubt and with constricted or limiting beliefs based on past experiences, like, I would just love for that amazing thing to happen, but in the same breath, you go, let's face it, I never managed to pull off big things like that. So we kind of talk ourselves out of something wonderful the split second after we think of it, right? And, you know, also because you're a human being, there is probably going to be a great big dose of judgment or a grudge or a sour attitude or some kind of fear all mixed into it. So you'll be thinking uplifted thoughts one moment, and then the next thing you know, you're dragged into remembering some kind of unhappy thing from the past. Or maybe you start projecting a future worry or why something isn't going to work out. And it may or may not be related to the happy thought you started out with 5 minutes ago. So does this sound familiar? It's like it's certainly familiar to me. It's just what we do. So when there's nobody at the wheel, consciously speaking, the conditioned mind is just going to ping-pong indiscriminately all over the frequency continuum. And, you know, let's face it, it has more of an affinity towards the negative than towards the light. In fact, you could probably say that that's kind of its job, because none of us starts out in life wanting to be reminded of the infinite, overwhelming power and responsibility that we hold as infinite creators, because we're just not ready to admit that. It's way too big and way too scary. So we abdicate the responsibility for our own energy field, the responsibility for its contents, and therefore for its creatorship abilities. We give it all over to a part of the mind that does its absolute best to keep us from recognizing our power and our divinity and our limitlessness. So if your energy field was pristine, let's just say hypothetically, if everything in it was holistic and healthy and appropriate and pointed always towards the light, my guess is you would walk around being a very conscious creator. You would know yourself as this quite naturally, because you would effortlessly accept your own identity as a limitless creator. And because you would have no resistance to the truth of your own identity, your creations would arise more or less instantly, like, you know, waiting on aisle six. I'm theorizing here, but it seems very likely that you would think or intend something and then see some version of your intention arise very, very quickly. And, you know, really, what is a miracle but the instantaneous arising of the fruits of your intention, if I dare to use the M word here? The instantaneous manifestation of your clear intention is pretty much the definition, or at least one of the definitions of a miracle, right? This is another definition that I like. It was given to me by Spirit a couple of years ago. It said, I'll quote here, it said, "A miracle is not an uncaused wonder. It's a statement of truth applied where directed, nothing more." In other words, a clear-minded, truthfully based focusing of intention in a particular direction, causing an expression of that truth to show up in the physical 3D world. So I like that one. I'm very fond of that definition. But either way, clarity is key, and being pristine is key. And let's face it, our minds and our energy fields are anything but pristine, generally speaking. So we have the situation that on our spiritual journey, we're learning to clean up the contents of our own mind from the inside, from inside a kind of a gloopy sea of mud and confusion. We perceive ourselves as being on the inside of this gloopy, muddy sea of perception, and our whole world, our whole experience of life, seems to be made out of this gloopy mud. And it isn't, of course, but from inside it, that's how it appears to us. And within that dark, claustrophobic sea, thanks to the aspect of our mind that we put in charge of these things, most of our intentions are kind of half-assed, and we feel conflicted about almost everything. Even the things that we think we really want very much, you know, the intentions that we tend to put out, probably typically contain half a dozen reasons why we also don't actually want those things. Like, I would love to win the lottery. Oh, but then if I do, I'll be hounded by scam artists because the winners' names are made public. And besides, everybody I know will want me to give them money. You know, and so you've just like completely talked yourself out of that amazing thing that you thought you just wanted. And, you know, that's an obvious example, but there's lots and lots more. So the power of your intentions, meaning the power of your creative abilities, they're deflected and they're refracted and scattered throughout that muddy sea of confusion by the varying kinds of thoughts that you're thinking all about the same thing. So small wonder then that not much ever actually happens. And as a result, we hardly ever see the fruits of our creation in an obvious way, all of which makes it way easier to go on denying that we ourselves create every aspect of our own experience, because it doesn't seem in most cases like we actually do. It all looks very confused and seemingly very random. But, of course, nothing is random. There's no such thing as random. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second and see if there's any questions or comments. Let's see. Worldly states are white noise. Our true frequency is not that. Absolutely. Getting there is is all the fun. Let's see. Both positive and negative ego are equally undesirable. That's a conversation for a completely different day. In the sense that they are both equally illusory, I would say, yeah. But we don't really have access to much of anything else. So I don't tend to define my physical existence in the world in that way, because then it would be purely and 100% undesirable. So, you know. Let's see. Does it have to be in a particular direction? I'm not sure what that refers to. Can you rephrase that in a way that has more context to it? Well, I don't see anything being typed. Oh. We don't have access to anything else but the worldly. I didn't understand what you meant by we don't. Oh, sorry. No, I can't remember what you said. I often suffer from the same thing. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. I'm going to move on to, I want to talk in some details about frequency levels, because I find it tremendously useful and helpful in terms of the spiritual journey as well as life in general. Okay, last time we talked about this a little bit, and I said that frequency from very low to very high is actually all on one unbroken continuum, with the very lowest being the feelings. You know, I mean, we all know what they are. It's like feeling like you're in hell. And the very highest feelings being the feelings of knowing oneself as heaven. And both are true. Frequencies are kind of all bundled together in particular levels. Let's see, maybe a better way of saying that is that the various aspects, the different traits or characteristics that live in a particular frequency level are all bundled there together, and they're all therefore accessible within that frequency level. And I'll try and give you some more concrete examples of this in a bit so it'll be more clear what I'm talking about. So Anyway, you're on one level, which has its own set of characteristics that are intrinsic to it. And then the next level up has a whole other set of even more wonderful characteristics. And the further up you go, the more wonderful the characteristics get. So, you know, how do you get there from here? Do you have to make, like, this huge jump from one level if you want to make it all the way up to the next one? So I have found, in my experience anyway, that it's not that you necessarily need to suddenly find the magical elevator in order to shoot upwards so that you can access that new higher frequency level. Although every once in a while it does actually seem to occur that way. Like I'm sure you've probably had this experience yourself. You have an amazing spiritual experience where you suddenly feel very expansive and very light, and some issue maybe that plagued you for a very long time, suddenly you have this miraculous opening, this tremendous shift, and you perceive it all differently. And in that shift, something changes for good. You can feel it change, and you know that you're free of that particular issue. So what actually happened there, from the standpoint that I'm talking about, is that you jumped up to a new frequency level, and that is a level where that old issue no longer exists. But in my experience anyway, that's a little bit rare to leap up high with a permanent shift all of a sudden, and it's actually not up to you when that kind of thing happens. Like, it just happens when it's ready to happen, and you can't push the river. You know, it happens in its own time. It happens when your own higher self decides, basically, that it's time to jump. But in the meantime, you can personally take matters into your own hands, I've found, and choose to move up the frequency scale, up the frequency continuum. So this is sort of the way that I think of it. And it's kind of a goofy analogy, but it works for me. So I picture the frequency continuum as kind of like a great big old school department store, the kind from when I was a kid anyway, the kind that has a bargain basement. So if you think of a department store, it has very specific levels. You know, it has floors, and you can only find the products that belong on that floor, depending on where you are, which floor you happen to be on at any given moment. So if you're in the bargain basement, and in our case, the bargain basement is the place that you go very intentionally. Like, let's say you had a really hard week at work. You had a fight with your boss, or you broke up with your significant other, or whatever. You're driving home, and you make a conscious choice that you're going to spend the weekend in your pajamas eating like a ton of ice cream, or maybe drinking lots and lots of beers, or whatever it's going to be. So you know perfectly well that eating multiple pints of ice cream or drinking yourself under the table will not make you happy. You know this, right? It's going to make you feel kind of sick and guilty and extra sorry for yourself. So it actually contributes to the bad feelings you're already having. It doesn't actually alleviate anything, not really. So you're making a conscious choice, in other words, to wallow in lower frequency, in lower emotional states. So I have no judgment on this, by the way. It's a choice that I've made once or twice in my life. God knows. I'm just pointing it out so that you can see clearly how it fits into the bigger picture, like how your choices affect all aspects of your life. So this bargain basement, if you're somebody who enjoys bargain shopping, and we're back to the department store now, this place, this basement, it has things in it that seem really desirable. There are some interesting designer clothing pieces or housewares that, you know, they might be slightly damaged, they might not. Maybe some of the clothing has ever so slight manufacturing flaws, or a tiny makeup stain from somebody trying it on, you know. Or they might be perfect, but nobody wanted them last season, and that's why they're down here. And you might be somebody who finds it kind of a pleasurable challenge to root through the sale tables and the clothing racks to see if you can find something great for a cheap price. Some people love that. Now, the actual experience of being in the bargain basement is not really all that great. There's no natural light down there. It's all buzzy kind of overhead fluorescence, no windows. So there's like, you know, kind of claustrophobic and dark. It's kind of dim. And maybe there's an ever so slightly musty smell down there. And even though you might consider it fun to go through other people's cast-offs, because that's what's actually happening here. All the items are in the basement because they weren't wanted by anybody at the regular price. So let's say, hypothetically, what if you knew yourself as a truly abundant, truly worthy individual? You know, who knows? Maybe you would enjoy shopping on a more beautiful floor of the store, an airy, sunlit space that has, like, skylights. And up there, you would see a whole different range of products. So, you know, like I said before, I know that this is a really trite analogy to be making to, like, an intentionally low state of being to a bargain basement of a department store. But it's a useful comparison to make, I think, in the sense that there seems to be something genuinely appealing about hanging out in that low place, as long as you're somebody who finds the contents of that basement valuable. That's actually the point that I'm trying to make by this whole elaborate thing. So, and, you know, once again, I hope you know this is no judgment whatsoever against bargain basement sale lovers, because, like, you know, hell, back in the day, when I collected vintage 1950s furniture, I was a dumpster diver par excellence. So, talk about an uncomfortable place to be shopping for your treasures in the trash bin. But you get my drift. Anyway, when you're someone who is resonant to the low vibratory states, when a weekend of depression and overeating and overdrinking and sad songs and sad movies are employed to help you feel even sadder. And, you know, this, is, again, is just one example, obviously. There are lots of different forms that this desire for low frequency can take. But when you choose to heed the siren call of depression or sadness or whatever it is, and consciously decide to spend quality time in low vibration, there are aspects of this frequency state that seem like an appealing choice, even though the actual experience of being in that state isn't really so pleasant. So the products that are found in the bargain basement are specific to the bargain basement. Like hopelessness, for example, a space where you can't imagine any way out of your current dilemma, that is a product that you're not going to find on any other level or any other floor of the department store. And likewise for depression. Both of these states, you might still run across them somewhere else, but this is where they live. Both of these states are resonant to the bargain basement. So you don't find them originating on any of the higher floors because they can't actually exist in those higher frequencies. And this is true of every one of the floors of the department store. And I'm oversimplifying, of course, to illustrate the point, but generally speaking, the higher you go, the higher your frequency level, each of which, you know, I'm talking about here as being a separate floor of the department store, each of those floors contains a specific series of products, quote unquote, that vibrate within a frequency range that matches that level. So one of the most important products that you're only going to find on the higher floors and never in the bargain basement is the ability to receive guidance or inspiration from the higher self. The higher that you go in your own vibratory state, the easier it is to receive authentic inspiration, regardless of whether you seem to have spiritual gifts for hearing guidance or not. And that is kind of a big deal, I think, for the many people out there who say that they yearn to be able to hear guidance. Because the higher you go in your frequency, the closer you start to naturally match the extremely high frequency of your higher self. And your higher self is always offering you guidance 24/7. But you need to be high enough in your own vibratory range to start to be able to, like, tune your receiver to it. So this divine guidance or inspiration will often take the form of new inspired solutions to existing problems. Because every problem that ever existed for you personally or for the world collectively has an inspired solution, and it would always be win-win. That is one of the hallmarks of a high vibratory inspired solution. They are always win-win. There are never any unintended consequences requiring yet more fixing. But those creatively inspired solutions can only be found by raising your own frequency to a level where creatively inspired solutions can be found. It's like, you know, that famous Einstein quote about how solutions can't be found at the same level where the problem was created. That is exactly what he's talking about. You can't legislate peace from the same mindset that produced war, as one obvious example. We've tried it over and over since the dawn of civilization, and the results speak for themselves. You get a temporary absence of war, but true peace is something else altogether. Anyway, back to the department store, which has a pretty much infinite number of floors. You have to get pretty far up there before you hit an amazingly beautiful floor that contains items like realization of oneness or unconditional love or the bliss of God realization. But it's still really all the same store as the place where you found the bargain basement. And like I said before, through grace or luck or dogged persistence, in those rare times, which are never of your own conscious choosing, sometimes you will stumble upon the elevator that will take you suddenly and miraculously up to the next floor. And by the way, it's also equally possible to descend right back down to the level below you, the one you just came from, if you want to. Because this is a very fluid process. Being human, as we all are, we do tend to climb up the down escalator over and over, trying so hard to climb the steps to get to the next floor, and then pausing as we sink back down, and all the while wondering why it's so damn hard to get up there and stay up there. And then once we finally manage to rise to the next floor, we often make the choice to go back down because it's more comfortable there. It's not nearly as pleasant, but it's a space that we know well, and we feel more at home there. So we go up a little ways, up the down escalator, and then we pause and let it carry us backwards a little ways. And then we climb the stairs again, and then we pause and allow ourselves to sink. And we do it again, and we do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Up the down escalator, it happens to the best of us along our spiritual journey. But I kind of think that the more consciously we become aware of the choices that we make regarding our own vibratory state, that we spend less and less time on that down escalator trying to go up. So the model that makes more sense to me, the one that feels more true to me, the more consciously I take responsibility for the contents of my own mind, and therefore for the state of my vibratory frequency, is that it no longer has anything to do with going up the down escalators at all. It's more like, you know the way a parking structure is constructed, one of those multi-level ones? You still have individual levels where all the cars are parked. You know, you have level A and level B and whatever. But those are not distinct floors per se. They're gentle, continuously upward sloping ramps. So if you choose to, you can make your way consciously, you know, slowly but surely, like little tiny baby steps, one by one, headed in a more or less upwardly direction. And over time, you'll notice that you're no longer on level A. Like at some point, which you may or may not have even been aware of at the time, you seamlessly transitioned up to the next level up. And that next level up is now your comfortable resting state. And because it took you a little while, because it was kind of gentle to get there, there's no like compulsive pull to go back down to where you are more comfortable. It happens gradually enough and holistically enough that you're fine where you are. It's the best way I can describe it. So everybody has a vibratory resting state, which is where you tend to stay. And your general outlook and your general beliefs about what's possible in the world, what's possible about the world, what's possible about yourself, they all belong within this particular level where you're currently resting. And within that general resting state, you're always moving around, of course, based on the occurrences in your life and how you're choosing to respond to them. So you'll have a general resting state, but you'll also have, within that, you'll have very good days and you'll have very bad days. And you might even choose to visit the bargain basement again. Although, honestly, if your resting state is more than one level up from that, you probably would have left behind the desire to wallow in suffering or depression before this. But, you know, you never know. You might want to go back and visit once or twice just to make very fucking sure that you really don't enjoy it down there. So that tends to be how it goes. I think that's a reasonable description of how it goes for most people. I'm sure there have been a handful of people since the dawn of civilization who have stumbled upon the elevator and stepped inside and, I don't know, accidentally bumped against the rooftop button, you know, the one that comes after the 110 millionth floor, and then they shoot straight up to that incredibly high level and stay there with no desire to come back down, and then they spend the rest of their lives happily standing on the roof, gazing freely at the magnificent 360-degree views up there. But I'm guessing you could count on the fingers of maybe a few dozen hands how many people have actually done it that way. As for the rest of us, we spend an awful lot of time going up and down and up and down through the various levels, teaching ourselves the hard way about which level makes us happy and which level makes us suffer. And is that still true this week like it was last week? I don't know. I'd better check. Yeah. And the reason we do it that way is because of that muddy sea of confusion that I spoke about earlier. Because it's so incredibly difficult to correctly identify up from down when you can't see clearly. But that's why I like the analogy of the gently sloping parking structure levels, because I find that following my intention alone, even during those periods where the sea looks particularly muddy, my intention to keep my feet pointed in an upwardly sloping direction, it tends to work most of the time. Most of the time. Yeah, most of the time. It does take practice, and it takes the intention to stay conscious of your own energy field and the state of your own vibratory frequency. It's a commitment to monitor all that and to make the choice to stay as high as possible and not to nosedive into the familiar but way more destructive lower thought patterns that you might be historically more accustomed to engaging in. And this is where that symbol that I referred to in week number one of the sun that's always shining in a blue sky, this is where that comes in. If you go high enough above the clouds, that's the very useful symbol, because that choice to descend into the clouds carries with it vibratory consequences. So, you know, not to beat yourself up over it, of course, because we all have our good days and bad days along the journey. But the point is to stay aware as much as possible and to have the overall strong intention to keep moving upward and to choose, whenever it's possible, to reach towards the sun instead of sinking into judgment or complaint or, you know, any of the 1,001 other oh-so-familiar lower states that we all tend to engage in. But here, in a nutshell, is why I feel that working with frequency and understanding how frequency works is so key and so important on the spiritual path. Because we all come from a paradigm where we focus on healing individual aspects of the self, individual types of misperception or misaligned beliefs, whether those are mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical. And we try all kinds of modalities, many of us, and all sorts of spiritual teachings to help us do that. And, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Much of it has huge, huge value. But here is the thing. You can find stuff about yourself to heal for the rest of your life and beyond. There's literally no limit to the things and the misperceptions that require healing. And the more you focus on the things that need to be healed, ta-da, the more things will crop up to reveal themselves that need healing. It's a great hobby, is what I'm saying. It'll keep on going year after year and lifetime after lifetime. It'll keep on going until you're bored with it, until you're done with playing that game. But the things to be fixed, the things to be healed, you will never be done fixing or healing, because there is always, always more. And that is where focusing on your own frequency, instead of devoting all your attention and energy to trying to heal individual things, that's where the path of focusing on frequency is so radically different and so much quicker. And at least for me, so much more effective. Because remember earlier when we talked about the various levels of the department store and the items that could be found on each of those floors, each of those levels? Well, many of the individual things that you would consider in need of fixing or healing, whether we're talking about something physical or something emotional or spiritual or whatever. Go away. Excuse me. Many of those items are hanging around simply because they belong to the particular frequency level that is your current resting space. And as you consistently choose to move up into higher frequency levels, you'll find that those items will simply drop away from your life all by themselves. Like, they didn't need inquiry, they didn't need healing, they didn't need to be surrendered consciously to a higher power. They just automatically remain on the level that they call home, which is the level that they are naturally resonant to. And as you move to the next higher level, they don't come with you. And it's actually as simple as that. And after you've been at that next higher level for a few weeks or a few months, you know, maybe one day you turn around and you think to yourself, hey, I haven't been afraid of that thing, or, you know, I haven't been plagued by that particular idea or whatever it might happen to be. I haven't felt that desire for 6 pints of ice cream in a really long time, and I don't know when it went away. I didn't even notice when it left. Have you ever had that experience? Because it's happened to me a bunch of times. I just turn around and I don't know when some huge, very fixed seeming thing left and went away. And I never understood why it happened that way particularly, but that's actually what took place. You know, my fervent prayers or my newfound belief or whatever it was that moved me into higher frequency, it caused me to rise enough that I simply left behind those particular problems for good. And, of course, the inverse can also be true. Have you ever had an amazing spiritual shift or breakthrough where you felt that you totally forgave something or you completely released something? Oh, and it felt huge and it felt really complete and, oh, absolutely healed. And then, a few weeks or a few months go by and that same old thing, whatever it was, you know, it's a sticky sort of an addiction to some belief system or other. And you find that it returned, but it kind of snuck back in the middle of the night when you weren't looking. You ever had that happen? And you think to yourself, damn, I really thought I was over that thing. I really thought it was healed. And you know what? It really was healed. At that newer, higher frequency, you authentically did let go of that misperception. You released it and it was gone. And then over a period of days or weeks or whatever, you gently drifted back down to the lower frequency that was your habitual resting state. And lo and behold, that same old misperception was back again, waiting to greet you. So actually what happened was it never left. It remained quite happily at that original lower frequency, that original vibratory level. It just couldn't come with you into the higher level you had risen to. And you probably couldn't figure out what happened, right? I never could. You didn't know why it was back again or how the whole thing happened. But when you're in the habit of monitoring and nurturing the state of your own energy field, you tend to be very aware of your vibratory frequency all the time. You know when it's going up, and you definitely know when it's going down. And the mastery part comes in when you make the choice to interrupt a downward spiral and redirect it upwards by choosing your thoughts very deliberately, meaning you choose higher vibration thoughts while refusing to entertain the low vibration thoughts. You look for ways to be inspired. You point yourself upwards, in other words, above the clouds like we talked about. You choose to go where the sun is always shining in a clear blue sky. And we'll talk in later episodes, about the kinds of thoughts that are most efficient and effective when it comes to actively choosing a higher vibratory state. Now, of course, there are always nuances and lots of opportunities to rise and fall in vibration, to make mistakes and learn from them and to fine-tune the process. But even if you're not a master, even if you just have a generalized intention to stay as high as you can, vibrationally speaking, there are huge benefits to be had from this approach. And I'm talking both spiritually and in the life that you live in your normal 3D existence. Okay, so let's take a break here, and I'm going to look at the screen. Is this some kind of resiliency training? Resiliency training. This is a room that considers. I'm not following what the conversation is about. It sounds like resiliency training to me. Go on, Carrie. Okay, I will. I'm always a bit stymied by chat. It's no fault of yours. It's just me. Anyway, okay. Back to the conversation. Back to talking about the way many, many items of misperception fade away almost effortlessly each time you move to a higher frequency level. Not everything fades away like that. In my experience, there are definitely always a handful of bigger, stickier beliefs that have much seemingly denser karmic knots of misperception to be reckoned with. And these ones do not go away automatically because they require conscious inquiry and or other forms of deep forgiveness and release. It's you who are desiring to learn from those, and so they're not just going to fade away on their own. So, you know, if you're somebody who enjoys having something to heal, no worries. You will still very naturally bump up against all of your deepest stuff, really. It's just all the crap that surrounds it that just kind of fades away on its own. But here's the interesting thing about that. As you rise in vibration and as you get better and better at leaping into brief states of very high vibration, you'll start to get a really juicy taste of the wonderful items that exist on those higher levels. Even if you can't stay up there for more than a moment or two, it's stunning what you can begin to experience. You'll start to immediately experience wonderful new solutions to old problems. You'll have amazing, unprecedented access to divine guidance and wisdom. Even if you're good at getting divine guidance and wisdom, it will have like a whole different dimension to it. You'll experience authentic moments of oneness with all that is, or you'll get tastes of unconditional love. Yeah, it varies with the person, but whatever it is, it will be absolutely amazing, I can guarantee you. And you will think to yourself, hey, I wouldn't mind one bit living in this higher state of frequency, because now that I've experienced this amazing thing up here, I see there's nothing to be afraid of. And in fact, I feel so absolutely great while I'm experiencing this thing. I think that I should just stay, so let's just live here. How about it?
Carrie, I can't hear you, so I think the mic dropped. And Regina, yeah, there's no sound. Do you want to pick up the mic again, Carrie?
Can you hear me now? Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Okay. I don't know how long ago it dropped. Sometimes the mic drops. Okay. Let's see. So we are in incredibly higher frequency and asking your higher self, what is it that keeps me from being able to stay up here in higher frequency? And because you're way up there and you're getting immediate answers, the answer or the intuition will come to you right away. And you'll be shown in some fashion that is appropriate to you that that sticky karmic thing that you haven't released yet, you'll realize that it's acting as an anchor holding you down. You've risen as high as you possibly can while still hanging on to that rope that's attached to the anchor, but now the rope is stretched absolutely tight, and you're not going to be able to go any higher unless you let go of it, because the anchor will stay down in the much lower vibratory region where it belongs, stuck in the mud, and you, having let go of your attachment to it, will naturally rise. And, you know, chances are you are already well aware of what these big sticky misperceptions are that you've carried with you throughout your life. Some of them are your personal things, and some are misperceptions that you share with the whole collective human consciousness. But you will start by clearing out the ones that are specific to your own life. And, you know, I would be very surprised to hear it if they haven't been around in your awareness causing you intense pain and inconvenience throughout your life. So, you know, quite naturally, because they've been around and you've been aware of all this, you've probably tried already many times unsuccessfully to find out what the tangled up misperception is made of. And you've probably tried to release it or surrender it or fix it or heal it or accept it or whatever it to just try and be rid of it. But probably you've never really been successful at it, especially with those very big items, the ones that sometimes seem like they have 1,000 different threads all tangled up inside it so that you don't even know where to start to untangle it. And that is because you were attempting to solve that problem from the same vibratory level where it was created. And so it appears to be incredibly complex and confusing with lots and lots of different extenuating circumstances and ideas all around it. But when you enter a significantly higher frequency state than the one you were in when the problem originated, you will see that big sticky issue in a completely different way. Because one of the hallmarks as you rise in frequency is that you see more and more clearly. And you're far more open to divine wisdom and inspiration in these states of higher frequency. So when you notice that you're unable to go any higher than you are, because that particular anchor is dug into the ground and the rope you've been carrying is stretched as tight as it will go, that's when you ask for divine wisdom and clarity, while at the same time doing your best to move into the highest vibration you're capable of at that moment. And as you turn to look at this sticky problem, this set of beliefs that you've never been able to fix or heal before this, you can notice that from this high vantage point of clarity and wisdom, the sort of fog that has always surrounded this issue just seems to, like, just blow away all by itself. And now all of a sudden, you can see the problem in a new light absolutely clearly, and it's way, way simpler than it seemed ever before. You know, there are no 1,001 tangled up threads making it seem so hopelessly complex and unfixable. And you'll find that the problem seems almost like it's suspended in midair. It's easy to view, and it's easy to walk all the way around it and see it from all angles. And there's great spaciousness around the problem. And the spaciousness is full of, it's a little bit hard to put into words. The spaciousness is full of the recognition, it's full of the knowing that this problem is not the truth. That this problem only exists because it's full of muddy, gloopy misperceptions. But you, in this moment, are not perceiving from inside the muddy misperceptions anymore, because you're in the spaciousness that surrounds it. And in the clarity of the spaciousness, you're perfectly aware of what the truth really is. The spaciousness is full of sanity, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it's full of clarity and wisdom. Excuse me. Because these are aspects, These are items that exist at the high frequency level that you're currently in. So you're able to clearly notice something that exists at a lower frequency level. You can see that thing even though it doesn't live on the high level that you're on. So, you can still see it, but you perceive it in a completely different, very high frequency way. And when you're able to walk all the way around this thing, all the way around this misperception that has caused you so much pain and confusion and aggravation, and when you see it from the standpoint of spaciousness and clarity, it's a no-brainer that this thing you've believed for so long just isn't true. And so the decision to stop believing it, to let go of the ridiculous rope that you've clutched for so long that has hung on to this anchor in the mud way down deep, it's a surprisingly easy decision to just let it go. And by letting it go, of course, you're suddenly free to move up to the next frequency level and call that one home for a while. And as you get accustomed to this new higher frequency as your resting state, you'll be able to catapult, or I don't know, maybe more like briefly trampoline jump, I guess, up into higher and higher states once again, higher states like bliss or brief moments of God realization or whatever it happens to be. And you fall in love with those gloriously higher states. And then once again, you'll think to yourself, hey, I'd like to live up here. I wonder what's stopping me. And you get curious about that. And then you ask, and the process will begin all over again. You'll be shown some other deep belief that it's time to let go of. And so on and so on. And this is the way that spiritual experience has probably always worked. But for me, I don't know, I find that it's been incredibly helpful to learn the mechanics of frequency that are actually underlying all of this. Because this puts you in the driver's seat. You know, you can always choose whether to go up or down in frequency. But at least if you're aware of what you're doing, then you're making an informed choice. And I love that, personally, because, you know, I always go for the active, not the passive. Anyway, it's 9:57. I see I don't have enough time left here. I was going to give you a clear example of the rise and fall of frequency levels according to what's going on with contents of the mind. In an example from my own experience, but I think I'll save that until the start of next week because it's sort of a startlingly clear and interesting example of it. So we'll save it then. So let's see if there's any questions or enjoy your analogies. Thank you very much. Muddy waters. Yeah. Okay. No questions. So I am going to say, I left you with a cliffhanger. Yes. Same bat time, same bat channel. I'm going to say thank you very much. I'm going to end like a minute and a half early, and you can Deidre was bounced from the room. Okay. And I will see you next week. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And I just wanted to say for people that are listening also, if you were inspired by the current mini-series with Carrie, please support our guest teacher with a donation. Donations are tax deductible for U.S. citizens. And we have an IRS 501c3 code. So you can go to our website, http.com. awakeningtogether.org and donate, support the current mini series. So please support Carrie. And